This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Welcome to the wrap-up show. It's Friday. It's episode 110. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, guys? Friday recap, episode 110. Today, we're going to break down our past couple interviews with Melissa Ambrosini and Brian Rose.
Awesome, guys. So, like Johnny mentioned, we've had some awesome, like, in terms of the podcast world, Melissa's just entered it, and she's doing outstanding. She's already hit number one in the Australian charts. She's got a huge following. Females around the world love her. And then we've got Brian Rose. Males around the world love this guy. So we've got a bit of a contrasting sort of
I can see these two here, having a good dinner together. Could you imagine Brian and Melissa at dinner together?
Blah.
Yeah, because
It'd be a world of information.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And like, it would seem like they would be compatible in conversation. Having just interviewed both of these personalities, they're two totally different type of styles. But yep. Usually they say opposites attract. You got Melissa, what we, you know, really into finding your peace and stillness and meditation. She brought up TM during her interview, which there's many different types, guys, of meditation. You really, it's what I tell my clients when it comes to training. You really just got to find what works for you.
Yep.
I've tried a lot, and we all know, you guys listening are probably tired of me talking about the tank, but the tank is what helps.
Talk about the tank, man. Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right, cool, man. The sensory deprivation tank, I've been floating for over 3 years. I wrote an e-book on this because I was so fascinated with what I was doing wrong. In terms of, you know, having floated, probably I didn't get comfortable maybe to the first 10 floats. You know, water would get my eyes. I wouldn't put the earplugs in right. Cuts on my face because I was shaving. So the ebook is all about simplifying that process and making your first float good. But for me, somebody who really has a hard time shutting the lights off, like stimulus everywhere, I'm always thinking, a standard meditation in a room is very, very difficult for me.
Yeah.
So I need that stripped down stimulus taken away in the tank. You know, it's completely dark. You don't need your eyes. You have earplugs in, so you're not hearing anything. You're not tasting anything. You don't see anything. You don't touch anything because the water is your body temperature.
And for the first time, people that might be interested in doing it, how long does it go for, Johnny?
That's a great question. It goes for an hour, give or take a few minutes. Now, my center, I don't want to speak for all float centers throughout the world, but I know mine offers only a 60-minute interval. I would think that... Now, you have to be in there at least, because I wish I could float for 2 hours. Because only after an hour, for me, I start getting into the nitty and gritty. You know, you start really uncovering some layers. And sometimes I get upset when it's time to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look in your local Yellow Pages. I don't know if people still use those, or Google them to find your local float center.
You go to Bondi Junction. Like, yep. It's always good to get a recommendation. Obviously, you go there time and time again. You've been there over 20 times or whatever.
You've been there, too. You've been there a few times.
What's the address? It's in the mall?
Yeah, so, guys, if you're living in Sydney, you just go to Bondi Junction, literally right out of the train station in the Bondi Junction shops. So you're walking out of the train station. You look left. There's the Westfield. Right across from the train station, there's a flight center. In that little arcade on the second floor, you'll find the Bondi Float Massage Center. Susie, I recommend booking a week in advance. And guys, for your first time floaters, book early. So booking a float at like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. rather than after the noon, because what happens is all the people, the more in tune you are with energy, you'll feel like the energy around the float center. Like if you go at 4 p.m., I've gone before, I feel the, like, it, you could tell people have been in and out all day.
Yeah.
But if you get in that tank early, it's calming. It's more calming.
Well, there you go. Recommendation, guys. So it's going to be an hour. You want to get there nice and early so you're first in the tank, nice and clean.
Yeah. And this is for if you guys out and girls listening who just feel that you need to unwind, detach, maybe stress with life, stress with work. It's a great way to shut the lights off for a while.
Yeah. Another couple of types that I've tried. I've tried one with Headspace, which is a simple app. It lets you like kind of work up. So it starts with about a 5 minute sort of meditation, someone guiding you through. I found that pretty effective. Like for me at the moment, I'm not doing it because I've switched into something actually probably what you taught me actually with the sauna. That was meant to be a performance benefit. I haven't really seen too many performance benefits, but one thing I have found is a mindset benefit from it. I find that going in there for 10 minutes has actually helped me to be the calmest I am in that day, detach myself from any electronics, and actually have time to actually hear myself breathe and think. And I actually feel that that's even, for me, like we spoke about at the top of the show, different meditations are going to work for different people. I actually find that better than Headspace now. So
yeah, I've been, I get in the dry, so we're talking about dry sauna, extreme dry heat. I've been doing it every day after my workouts for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And if you're really interested to hear the science behind it, Google, guys listening, go to YouTube and type in Dr. Rhonda Patrick, and she dubs it hypothermic conditioning. And what she did was do it, she did a 2-year longitudinal study on the effects of extreme dry heat directly after we train.
Yeah.
And what you see there is there's proteins in the blood that occur called heat shock proteins that promote tendon repair, tissue repair. But like you said as well, Tristan, I like the isolation of it. Like sitting in there.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Now, other than the benefits for your muscle and your body and your skin and just sweating is really healthy, but just being alone,
yeah,
it's very important.
Actually, it's good that you brought up Rhonda Patrick, because on her site, there's a free downloadable PDF that takes you through the actual research and the recommendations for the sauna. And the reason why I'm not saying that the performance doesn't work, it's because I'm not doing it properly. Like for her, I think she recommends you being in there twice a week for 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
So 10 minutes isn't going to really help me, but it's helped me to find something else, like the meditation issue. Like that's good
for
me. Yeah,
for sure.
It's actually helped me. Both of you guys have helped me in a different way to find my way of meditating. So I think it is important to kind of reflect, you know what I mean?
100%. It's imperative, I feel, daily. And it could be, I think the most important thing is you find a sacred space. You find a space where you could be alone. There's no distraction. You don't have any electronics with you. You could find that, you know, in a sauna, in a flow tank, maybe in your, you know, attic, in a side room, in your bedroom, if that works for you.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is, I think more importantly, it's having the awareness that you're in a state of just stillness.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Actually, you know what? Ground rules in the actual sauna. It's actually something interesting you brought up to me the other day. Newspapers. For maybe people that don't know, because, you know, it's still new to a lot of people, maybe can you explain the, you know, what the toxins and all that sort of stuff mean?
Yeah, it's one of those things that kind of bothers me a little bit when I go down there and people will be reading, whether it's a magazine or newspaper, specifically anything that has ink on it. So it's so hot down there, the ink will then raise off of the paper and go into the air, and you're breathing it in, and you can taste it. And a couple different times I've asked a couple different gentlemen if they could not do it, and they have, and it's one of those things where I just leave. But yeah, if you're listening at home and you guys are the ones going to the dry sauna, just remember, don't bring any reading material with you, because, you know, it could be detrimental to your lungs and the people around you.
Yeah, it's a safety thing. So I think it's great that we actually bring it up just so people are aware.
Yeah.
Because it is hard. You know, you might not even know, because it can be boring for some people. So they might think that they have to actually bring some sort of reading material, but really, it is detrimental, as you just said, because of those toxins.
Man. Yeah, I work on my breathing when I'm in there. Like your boy, I know you went to the Steve Maxwell seminar when he was in Sydney. Shout out. How'd that go?
So I went awesome, man. Some of the breathing.
Was it retentive breathing? Or what type of breathing was it?
It was 3 hours. I'm not too sure on the actual terms, but there was a lot of different strategies that he showed us in terms of exercises you can do, holding your breath, how to properly breathe out. He, because of his background in BJJ, there's a few different things about, so for example, you've done it before, when you get put into locks and you start feeling pain, he actually showed us a few strategies with our breathing that take away the focus away from the pain, and the pain actually just disappears.
Yeah, it's one of those things I wanted to ask Wonder Boy about, when we were talking to him about that deep guillotine, because I've heard Hicks and Gracie and I've heard Hoist Gracie on record talk about their breathing is just as important as their jiu-jitsu, because if you have a less experienced grappler and you know, and they get put in maybe a rear naked or a guillotine and they panic, their breathing, that's why they're going to attack.
That's what Steve said. The panic actually makes their breathing just go through
rapid.
The roof.
So what you want is you want to slow the breathing down. It's Maxwell, I think what he was teaching you is how to slow the heart rate down in that panic scenario.
Yeah, because what he was saying, with the slow, it allows you to continue to think. Because, you know, firsthand with BJJ, for every move, there's a reactive move. Do you know what I mean?
It's so chess.
For everything that you get put into, I think, is it like 99% of it can be reversed or something?
It's countless. Joe Rogan said that the possibility, I was just listening to him talk about this scenario.
Yeah.
He was just saying the possibilities of BJJ are just endless. Mm. And that's what attracted him to get his black belt. And most guys we've spoken to all bring it up. Brian Rose, I mean, purple belt in jiu-jitsu. It's one of those things that most guys I talk to who get involved, they stick with it.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the I don't think it's the combat side. I think it's that philosophical side of what you could do with the body and what you can't do. And also the limitations that we once put on our potential. When you're in a fucking choke or you're in a submission attempt and you don't tap and you overcome that, there are huge mental benefits for that have carryover effects outside of the mat. And it just, you know, I'm getting the itch to go back to it, back to grappling.
That's a bloody, looks like a very demanding and physically and mentally.
Yeah, these guys aren't meatheads. Like, no. You talk to a jiu-jitsu black belt,
a specialist.
He's really philosophical. They're really probably into a lot of things you'd be shocked about.
Who was it? Who's the contender in the welterweight division?
Maya.
He was talking about he never goes into a fight to hurt someone.
Yeah, no. Royce Gracie told us during our interview he doesn't even look at himself as a fighter.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's, I guess, their mindset. It's about technique and
they call
having fun. Not
jiu-jitsu,
about,
like, practitioners.
Yeah.
Players, experts. Maya is the best in the world. And everyone's jiu-jitsu is different. Like, if you take, for instance, Hicks and Gracie's jiu-jitsu, who is the best. He was very brutal. He's one of my all-time favorites. There's an awesome documentary when he was in his prime called Choke. You can watch it on YouTube. But then you take Maya's style. Maya is this guy who's like a boa constrictor who's really patient. He inch by inches you. You know, he doesn't really steal. He doesn't steal and take super risks at shooting for like a surprise technique. He kind of inches his way, maneuvers, gets his hip around, and then all of a sudden he's just applying pressure on your neck. And you're just look what he did to Carlos Condit. Condit's one of the most dangerous welterweights
in the world.
And tapped him in a minute. That was shocking.
Matt Brown as well.
I mean, the list goes on and on. We'll see. They're kind of honey.
I hope they give him
a honey dicking him right now.
Yeah,
you know, like, the guy's won what? He's on a crazy win streak.
The guy has to have 100 fights before they give him a shot, man.
And it's unfortunate because the average new MMA fan, your new Conor fans, your new Ronda fans over the last 5 years, they don't want to see grappling.
They don't want to see grappling at all.
Because they don't appreciate it. It's really technical.
Yeah, unfortunately, they pay the bills at the moment. Hopefully, we can get them up and educate
them. Shout out
to
EBI,
more.
Man. EBI just got signed with UFC Fight Pass, the Eddie Bravo Invitational. There are some great – you want to see great jiu-jitsu, and you want to see jiu-jitsu that's evolved from the Gracie style to the rubber guard, what Bravo has created since – I think he's a Machado disciple. That you can always catch. If you want to watch good grappling, check out the EBI Invitational, man. You got Gary Tonin's a goddamn animal. You got Savages there, and they're starting promoted on the mainstream.
Hell yeah. Check it out, guys. All right. Well, I really want to turn our attention now to Brian Rose.
Yeah, dude. Brian Rose reminded me of, like, that older figure.
Father figure.
That every successful guy has in their life.
Yeah.
You could turn to.
He's one of those guys that is a true inspiration and direct kind of mentor. That was the first time we actually spoke we did it over Skype, but it was like the connection was so good, it was like he was there in person.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
I thought he was in our podcast studio.
But I just relate, and like we spoke about at the start of the show in Brian's episode, we both had different ways of relating to him. Obviously, from you, you're an expat into Australia, him an expat into London. For us too, we had that transition from finance to doing something we love. And
finance to podcasting. That's
so
very precise.
I think it's that
kind
of triangle which made it a great interview, and it's one of the ones I really, really enjoyed because it really felt like he was directly speaking to us. It was like God speaking to us or something that, man.
Yeah, there weren't any like digital separation. Like hearing his timeline and how he was, talking about where we are in our journey and where he was, and like it was almost like it was flattering, but it was very. motivational as well for me, and I know for you as well, to continue to just, you know, there isn't going to be one of these days where we wake up and there's going to be fireworks and balloons and glitter.
Yeah.
It's going to be our head down, driving forward uphill with rocks coming down on us inch by inch, being tested the whole time during this journey. And you're just going to be, we're going to be faced with how bad do we want it. And hearing him say that and the advice about, you know, your intent, wanting to help people, when he said his goal for each one of his interviews is to make his guest be the best version of themselves to his listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about all about following your passion, you know. And Brian could still be on the exchange and being a trader, making millions of dollars each year. At the end of the day, that's not really what was important to him. What was important to him was he wanted to find something that he was truly passionate about. And I think that's something that gets lost in everyone. I did it. I'm sure that you did it as well. And, you know, really finding out what you really want to do, it makes it very, very easy. Like for us, we do 3 podcasts a week, but it's so easy to do because it's something that we're passionate about. The other day, I spoke about it to a group of guys from the NRL, but same thing. I did a lot of preparation for that. It was like preparation was about 5 hours. They told me the day before I had to do it, but the prep was easy because I was just passionate about it the whole time, and I could just spin off a half an hour about it. I probably could have gone for another half an hour. It's just so easy to talk about something that you're passionate about.
I had a similar scenario this past week with this course that I just started. And I was going the night before, I was doing it for the boys here at the gym. And the night before, I was going over and over and over it, and I was timing myself. And at first, I was kind of like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk for 45 minutes. And then you get in the zone, you're like, hold on. I don't even have to think about
flies.
It. This is second nature. This is like, in ironically, the course is all about the coach identifying what they're passionate about. And once you're able to do that, guys, and it's simple. Like, I remember year after year, which, like, morning after morning would turn to week after week, and this was in my mid to late 20s, and I would just be telling myself, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what do I want to do? Like, I know I have something. I know I want to obsess over something, but at the time, I just didn't know how to channel that energy towards my strengths. And it's really important to be real with yourself and really take the time and write down what you're good at.
Yeah.
Like, important, right? Huge. You can't, you know, because that keeps you in your pocket and that keeps you streamlined to get to where you want to go.
If you haven't yet, actually check out Brian's London Real Academy. I think you'll get some real value about some of the little things, the videos that he's posted. He's a big advocate of kind of having that kind of side gig, that side hustle, and I think that's a great way to actually start it. Not everyone will be in the same situation where Brian was probably financial enough to actually just quit his job and go to what he's passionate about. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking about quitting your job before you've actually got something secure, that's not what I'm saying at all.
No way.
But it's a good way for you to start, and having that side hustle and that side little project that you can turn to when you get home every night from work or on the weekends. It gives you something that you can inspire to and continually build up until a situation where you can actually leave that other one that you don't really like but is paying the bills.
That's what you need.
And then turn that passion into something that you can actually get paid for, which is, at the end of the day, the dream, man.
Yeah, for sure. You have to have that. That 9 to 5 keeps the lights on, but don't think that once it's 5 o'clock, you just rest. That's when the real hustle starts. When everybody else in your workplace is just sitting there and they're sleeping or watching The Simpsons, that's when you have to put that extra work in. When it's 3 in the morning and we're waiting to talk to a guy who's in LA and it's a Tuesday and we have to be up at 6 a.m. to do our one-on-one sessions, it's about getting through those moments. Mm-hmm. And you learn so much about yourself, and you really put yourself in these situations face-to-face with what you want to achieve and who you are. And a lot of questions get answered, like, do I really want to do this? Should we quit? Like, is this what I love to do? And, you know, if you never put yourself in that scenario, you'll never really know what it's like to really want something.
Yeah, well, hell yeah, man. So, guys, if you ever want to talk about kind of transitioning, you know, I've done it myself, so just reach out. You can hit us up at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com.
Great idea, man. Have you written on anything on that?
I've run a few articles on that. Just check out the blog on the website. You should be able to get a few different ideas. But I'm always happy to kind of chat to people that want a bit of advice about transitioning away, because it can be one of the hardest things you ever do. And
especially if you have a family, man.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was lucky at the time that I was able to take more risks than a general person would with a family and things like that, because at the time I didn't have any dependents.
Yep.
So what I can do is a lot different to probably someone with a child and family. But my best advice for someone listening at the moment that is wanting to transition at the moment is that side hustle, man. I think that side gig, really, to have something that you are passionate about on the side.
To take your head away from the job that you don't like?
Yeah, I think it's really important, and it's a great way to transition back into it and just give yourself some drive, because like you did mention, a lot of people just 9 to 5, which is great. Some people aspire to do that. Some people do want that.
And that's fine.
But it's what you do after, you know what I mean? What's the use of watching, for me, Simpsons? I know everyone needs downtime, but if you aspire to be something different, that's when it's going to kick in, that time between 6 and 10 p.m. That's a good amount of time that you can kick into a side hustle, guys. So
yeah, man, you have to know who you have to become to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
AJ Roberts episode. I love that quote. Yeah, you got it. If you didn't catch that one, guys, AJ Roberts, seemed like we interviewed him years ago, but there were some truth bombs. But that what you were just talking about was the heartbeat of that episode, and it's so true. I used to live in this headspace of somebody was going to do it for me. I was waiting because I was entitled, or somebody was going to give me a favor and do me a favor. No one's going to do shit for you. If you want to do it, you got to do it yourself.
Gotta get out there,
and
man,
don't wait for anybody to help you.
That action.
Yeah, man, it's super important.
Yeah, so guys,
that shit inspires. I'm motivated right now,
there
man.
There you go. Guys, I think we've left you with enough knowledge bombs for today. So guys, remember, Johnny's gave some great advice on meditation, so check that out. Like we said, please reach out at any time if you want to talk about anything we have spoken about on these Friday recaps. So info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Me and Johnny are more than happy to speak and answer any questions. So
yeah, guys, go to thevisionboardpodcast.com to download your free copy of Conversations with Champions. And also, if you're interested in the free ebook on sensory deprivation floating, go to mine at johnnystofko.com. It's a free download, as is our Conversations book. And just stay in the loop, too. Our newsletter is on our Vision Board website.
Sure is.
Sign up to the newsletter. You'll always be in the loop with past guests, future guests, and what's going on in the world of TVBP.
Definitely, guys. So stay tuned. Tell your friends. Please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. The reviews are really, really important at the moment. So if you could just jump on, a little bit extra juice. It's just a couple of other buttons. Please search Vision Board Podcast, and you have like a little review app. If you could just leave us a quick 5-star review. Honest feedback is always great, so please get involved and keep following the journey, guys.
Yeah, guys, and get inspired, man. We appreciate you for following us, and if you ever need anything, just reach out and ask.
Hell yeah. So, guys, over the next week, we got a big shows next week with Stephen Bradbury, Australia's first ever winter gold medalist. And then we'll also be chatting with the New York Times best-selling author and serial entrepreneur, Ryan Blair.
Yeah, super excited for both of those. We could definitely learn something, and guys, make sure you tune in.
Guys, we'll check you next week.
Peace.
Peace. Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.